In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In today's Gospel, as we often read in the Gospel, the Jews were persecuting Jesus because he healed on the Sabbath day. And the Jews called that work. For them, Jesus was breaking the law concerning keeping the Sabbath day holy. In Exodus, we read the commandment concerning the Sabbath as follows. Remember that you keep holy the Sabbath day. 6 days shall you labor and shall do all your works. But on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. You shall do no work on it. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your beast, nor the stranger that is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all things that are in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. You may hear Christians in other denominations speaking of the Christian Sabbath being on Sunday, or that the Sabbath had been transferred to Sunday by the early Christians. But this is not the way that the Orthodox Church perceives the Sabbath. The Sabbath is indeed on Saturday. So the question is, why do Orthodox Christians not keep the Sabbath as do the Jews? Indeed, is it not one of the Ten Commandments? There are 4 specific considerations that we must examine to understand what has happened to the Sabbath after the death and resurrection of our Lord. 1, this commandment had a prophetic aspect that was fulfilled in Christ's death. 2, Sunday worship is, in a sense, the complete fulfillment of the Jewish feast of first fruits. 3, the early church saw Sabbath observance as an affront to what Christ had done for us on the cross. And 4, Sunday has a specific connection to the 8th day, the end of time, and the fulfillment of all things. As we explore these considerations, let us keep in mind that Jesus fulfilled the law and brought it to completion. In Matthew chapter 5, we read, our Lord says, do not think that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or iota shall pass out of the law till all be fulfilled. All of the ceremonies, the sacrifices and observances of the old covenant were merely a shadow of what was coming. So now we must look at those laws, those observances, those ceremonies and sacrifices in light of Christ's death and resurrection. And we see them in a new light. First, we must consider that the Sabbath was not only historic. Yes, God created all things, and after his labor, he rested. But we must also consider that the Sabbath was also prophetic. It looked forward into the future. When we speak of the dead, we often use the words, rest in peace. May they rest in peace. We have this notion that in death, Christians are at rest. As we reflect on this commandment, we see clearly that Christ, who is God, went to his death on the cross, this is the work that he was sent to do. Then, in death, he was placed in the tomb. Indeed, he was at rest in the tomb on the Sabbath. As Orthodox Christians, every Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection. And therefore, every Saturday is a remembrance of that true Sabbath when God rested from his work on the cross in the tomb. For the Christian who truly believes that Christ rose victorious from the grave, this commandment has been fulfilled completely in Christ. In its fulfillment, the early church saw that it was no longer binding on the Christian believer in the same way that it had been binding on the Jews. The second consideration is that Christ is the first fruits. He is the first fruit from the dead. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20, we read, "Christ is risen from the dead, the first fruits of them that sleep." In the book of Leviticus, the Lord gives this instruction: "When you enter the land that I'm giving you, and you harvest its first crops, bring the priest a bundle of grain from the first cutting of your grain harvest. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest will lift it up before the Lord so that it may be accepted on your behalf. On that same day, you must sacrifice a one-year-old male lamb with no defects as a burnt offering to the Lord. With it, you must present a grain offering consisting of 4 quarts of choice flour moistened with olive oil. It will be a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. You must also offer 1 quart of wine as a drink offering. Do not eat any bread or roasted grain or fresh kernels on that day until you bring this offering to your God. This is a permanent law for you, and it must be observed from generation to generation wherever you live." This was the institution of the Jewish feast of first fruits. This feast is fulfilled in the Eucharist. Notice that this feast is celebrated when? On the day after the Sabbath, the first day of the week, on Sunday. The lamb is sacrificed and offered to God with bread and wine. We can see clearly how our Eucharist is foreshadowed in this feast of first fruits. As a side note, other Christian denominations often condemn the practice of celebrating Sunday worship on Saturday evening, as we are doing right now. But if we look at Genesis, at the story of creation, we see that the day begins in the evening and ends in the evening. Genesis 1:5 states, "The evening and the morning were the first day." And then we look also at Leviticus, chapter 23, verse 32. "From evening until evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbaths." So despite our modern understanding that the day begins at midnight, in God's time, the day begins in the evening. Next, what did the early church say about keeping the Sabbath? In the years 363 and 364 AD, the Council of Laodicea took up this issue. And in Canon 29 of that council, they said, Christians must not Judaize by resting on the Sabbath, but must work on that day. Rather, honoring the Lord's day. And if they can, resting then as Christians. But if any shall be found to be Judaizers, let them be anathema from Christ. So what they're saying is they're pronouncing an anathema, a curse on anyone who wanted to bring back the Jewish practices because they had been fulfilled in Christ. The apostles rejected this concept that you had to bring back the Jewish practices. They had already done that at the Council of Jerusalem that we read about in Acts. They recognized that Christ had indeed fulfilled the law, and that now we were not under the law, but we were in Christ. The reason this was so important, and the reason that they saw it as an offense to Christ, is because Christ is our salvation. He is the one who obtained forgiveness for us and restored us to friendship with God. The law could not accomplish that. Christ did what the law could never do. The Sabbath of the Old Testament look forward to the time when creation was to be recreated. In the book of the Apocalypse, our Lord says, "Behold, I make all things new." We are a new creation in Christ. And we just read in the book of the Apocalypse how John saw the new Jerusalem descending from heaven. All things were made new in Christ's death and resurrection. In this way, Sunday is in a figure of speaking the eighth day, the timeless prefiguration of all eternity and heaven, where we shall enter into our Lord's rest. In the gospel today, Christ says something very interesting. He says, "My Father is still working, and I am working." It is almost as if he is saying that we haven't reached the true Sabbath because God is still at work. God is still at work within each of us. Finally, let us recall that Christ says that he is the Lord of the Sabbath, and that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. As we become more and more united to Christ in our Christian journey, may we come to realize that indeed we have experienced something much greater than the Sabbath in Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.